Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome into the Monday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Joe Rex Road, fresh off a whole lot of basketball. How we doing? What's going on?
We're doing okay. A little bit tired, you know. Watching basketball and writing about basketball. Very, very grueling work.
Yes, very, very much so. Especially for you. Like, yeah, somebody who doesn't enjoy basketball at all.
Yes, it's like pulling teeth. Exactly. No, it's been pretty awesome weekend. I mean, you know, we'll get into all this, but we almost got through without a buzzer beater. Then Maryland, Colorado State happened yesterday.
Yep.
We don't really have a Cinderella. We can talk about that. I have some ideas on who can be Cinderella. It's amazing. There's four conferences represented in the Sweet 16. The lowest before this was 7.
Is that right? Wow. That's kind of a crazy number.
Yes, and Duke, of course, is like the one from the crappy ACC.
Right.
But SEC record 7 teams. No one's ever done that before. So far, the SEC is backing it up.
So far they are. Although, you know, after like Texas and Georgia lost, the funeral started for the SEC for a lot of people around the country, Joe. So it's amazing that they've made it to this point.
Oh, I mean, I got some coworkers who are ready to dance on the grave. I'm like, just calm down. Let's, let's wait and see the best teams, how the best teams do. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, they went 15-7, which isn't an amazing record. I think the Big Ten was like 12-4, I think. So, you know, 15-7 is not, but they had a bunch of their kind of teams, you know, lose those toss-up games. But the best teams advance. Florida, UConn, one of the best games of the whole thing so far yesterday.
Yep, I got some things to say about UConn a little bit later in the program. What a weird dude. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the program. Tennessee advancing to the Sweet 16, Joe, for the third consecutive year, and I believe the fourth time in total under Rick Barnes here. So they get the job done against UCLA. We're going to get into that throughout the show. Take your thoughts on all things NCAA tournament on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But Joe, you were there, so let's just start with you. Your takeaway from Tennessee, their performance against UCLA late on Saturday night and punching their ticket to another Sweet 16 matchup, which we now know after yesterday will be against Kentucky, which is going to be quite something.
Oh, boy. Yes, it will be. Yeah, it was a really impressive performance. I'll tell you what, Chaz Lanier is, did he come ready to play in this tournament. You know, I mean, obviously he set the Tennessee single season threes record this year with Chris Lofton on hand, which is pretty cool. So you got Zakai Ziegler setting the assist record Thursday with, we talked about it Friday, the assist record holder there.
Yes.
And then Chris Lofton is there for Chaz Lanier. Lanier, you know, just big time shot maker who he's just so dangerous. One of the most dangerous players in this tournament. And again, he's not Dalton Connect. He's not someone who I don't think he's going the first round. It's funny, a lot more of these mock drafts are popping up with him, you know, like in the 30s to 40 range. I mean, he's really helped himself a lot, which also, by the way, can't hurt Tennessee. You know, that guys come here and they get better and they improve their stock. But Just great D as always. His hounding D, Ziegler, the head of the snake, just causing havoc. Mayshak causing havoc, and they had a stretch in that game I thought where they played as well as I've seen them play this year. You know, kind of got a little at the end, they got a little sloppy, and I mean that could have been a 20-point blowout against a really talented team. By the way, I mean UCLA is no slouch. You know, really they aren't. They've been an up and down team, but Tennessee took it to them. So I'm impressed, and I really think, you know, Tennessee's got a chance to get it done this year. I mean, I still feel like it's. I said this last week. I'll say it again. I mean, I think that they have a better setup going into this weekend on paper, which is all it is, than they did a year ago when you're just like, man, ED Purdue in Detroit. Those fans have known forever that they were going to play in Detroit, so they gobbled up all the tickets. It's not going to be like that this weekend.
I tell you what, the more I watch Mayshak play, that guy is unbelievable. It's not, you know, he's never going to blow you away offensively with what he does, but just he's just an absolute hound out there. Like, he just is totally relentless when it comes to his pursuit of a loose basketball or chasing you down defensively. Like, he's just, I guess the best way I can describe it, Joe, is like he feels like he's always in the way. Like, at every point when you're trying to get a basket on Tennessee, like, I turn around and Jemai Mayshak is just standing right there in the way.
Nah, he's a total winner, and he's, I know the overused term, he's a glue guy. But he's one of the best glue guys I've ever seen. And I don't think I've seen two players who, again, it's different because you're right. Mayshak is like the guy who he can go get a rebound. He'll go, you know, he'll catch up from behind and block your shot. He's a tremendous athlete. But I don't think I can think of two players on the same team who are what those two are defensively. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's really something else. And that's it's a special group here for sure. And it is the end of an era this year. You know, with those two guys moving on after this year. It was last year, too, with Vescovy and Josiah James. You know, they've had a heck of a run here with a lot of really good players who have been there for a long time, who kind of set a culture and a foundation. But those two guys are, man, they are hell-bent on getting this done.
Well, Mick Cronin, UCLA coach, Joe, I guess moved on from, like, criticizing all of his players on an individual basis after the game to now the team plane. His team plane is his next target. He's very upset with the Allegiant flight, apparently.
Yeah, he said, like, the crappy plane or whatever, the piece of crap plane we have to fly
back. Right now, I'm just worried about, can somebody get me a hot meal? I don't eat on game days. I need a hot meal. Jeez, that guy's mad.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's entertaining. There's been a lot of interesting pressers here in this thing so far. But, you know, interesting thing with obviously Cronin, he took that job only because Rick Barnes turned it down.
Yep.
And you know, he has gone to a Final Four, so, I mean, you have to tip the cap. He's been good. And an interesting thing is, you know, he talked this week about how, you know, they didn't have a spot or else he wanted Mayshak, you know. And I did get the sense the other night that Mayshak was even a little bit more ramped up than normal because it was obviously his hometown team, but I think, you know, I'm sure he probably wanted to get an offer from UCLA and didn't, but
yep.
You know, that's the type of stuff that happens in these things. But yeah, Mick Cronin, I guess I'd never covered a game coached by Mick Cronin before this weekend. He is tiny. I mean, he is just a tiny, tiny man. It's actually amazing. He wears a suit. You know, there aren't too many coaches who still do the suit thing, you know.
Yeah.
And he and his staff do. And it really, like, looks like a little kid about to go to church. I mean, it's quite something. But he's a good coach.
Well, I hope he enjoyed his flight on the way home. Hope that Allegiant flight was
hope it went okay.
Hope it was a good flight on the way back. So we're going to have all week to kind of sift through this and break this down, Joe. But just your initial thoughts on the Sweet 16 matchup. You know, I was doing the Predators game yesterday as they were playing the Blues, and at the same time, Kentucky was playing, and Connor Newt was in here just going crazy. So he's fired up for Tennessee and Kentucky. So your initial impressions on that Sweet 16 matchup that is going to be between now and Friday, Joe, a lot of mouthing going on between Tennessee fans and Kentucky fans. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool when you can get these things. We can get these you know, obviously, I mean, it's tough for the SEC, I guess. You know, it's like, well, you know, you're going to lose one of those teams. You know, one of them's going to advance too. But it's a heck of a matchup. But just really interesting this year because obviously Kentucky won both games. It's a totally different Kentucky system. You know, Rick Barnes had a lot of success against John Calipari. But 0-for-2 against Mark Pope, I know it's such a cliche, but, like, it is hard to beat a team three times, and I think it will be hard for Kentucky to do it, but they looked really good yesterday. I mean, with Lamont Butler, they are they still, you know, obviously missing Jackson Robinson, but Lamont Butler is a huge deal for them. Makes a big difference. That's the matchup with Ziegler, and you know the Kentucky shot great in those two games, but Tennessee can do a much better job defensively, and I suspect that they will. I suspect they will be much more hounding and hard to score on in this game than they were in the first two.
And by the way, the Lady Vols go in and just kick the crap out of Ohio State yesterday, too, to advance to the Sweet 16. So you got both programs going to the Sweet 16 here, Joe, on the Tennessee side of things. You know, I was watching some of that game after the Preds game was over last night, and you know, they got down, I think they were down 11-3 to begin the game. And basically from that point on, they just totally dominated Ohio State.
Yeah, it's a really big win for them. It was on the road. It was a 4-5 game, so you know they had to play that game in Columbus. Huge win, making a Sweet 16 in Kim Caldwell's first year. That's a big deal. Probably looking at Texas, that Texas plays today, and that has been a very tough matchup. So you know that, but now you're out of the, you know, you're out of the having to play on a team's home floor situation. So, I mean, look, you know, they get it cooking, they get teams turned over, and they hit some shots from the outside. They're a dangerous team.
So we'll take your thoughts on Tennessee advancing to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, your thoughts on the matchup against Kentucky coming up this weekend, plus some more news and notes to get to from this weekend in the tournament, including disappointing for Vanderbilt over the weekend as well. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on the NCAA tournament, 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Tennessee advancing to the Sweet 16. They'll take on Kentucky. And we will get into that a lot throughout the week. Ben McKee will join us at 7:30 on the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Vols with him as well. So looking forward to that. Joe, disappointing result for Vanderbilt on Friday. They lose 59-56 to St. Mary's in a game that looked like they had it under control for most of the game until they didn't. And obviously a disappointing kind of slippage there for Vanderbilt in the second half. They were up 29-22 at halftime, and they get outscored 37-27 in the second half to lose to St. Mary. So on the whole, Joe, it doesn't really change my thought on Vanderbilt's season, right? Like, it's an overwhelming success for Mark Byington in year one, getting this team to the tournament, particularly when you consider how tough that conference was to be able to navigate through that, get some of the big wins that they got, and end up in the NCAA tournament in year one. There's no doubt that that's a success. But a game on Friday, Joe, where it looked like they had it, and then all of a sudden they didn't.
Yeah, it was a tough loss, and you know, it feels wrong to like nitpick this season because it was so surprisingly good. It was a tremendous debut season for Mark Byington. You know, just like Kim Caldwell, Tennessee had a, I think, an overachieving first season. So did, but I think, you know, Byington, one of the most surprise teams in the country. But there was a little bit of a theme, which is just they had a lot of games where, you know, the second half they just, you know, they let some leads slip, or you know, like a game at Oklahoma, they just let it get away. They had a great chance to win in Knoxville and get the sweep of Tennessee. And, you know, look, Tennessee at home in the second half coming back, that happens. That's going to happen to a lot of teams. But Vanderbilt did lose a lot of leads, or, you know, kind of play worse in the second half. So that's something to, I guess, to look at, to talk about. But, you know, tremendous season. It's too bad with this game. It's too bad for yesterday, because had they won, I really think we would have had a very entertaining, interesting Alabama-Vanderbilt game. Instead, Bama basically ran up and down the court and lobbed, dunked themselves into the Sweet 16 at the expense of St. Mary's. Vanderbilt had they were in control. It's interesting because Marcellonis goes out with his fourth foul. Vanderbilt's up like about 10, and you're like, I mean, wow, St. Mary's is toast. Yep. And they went on this huge run without him. The guy who came in, whose name eludes me, you know, hit a couple three, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, sometimes you just never know. Like something that looks like a break for you turns out to be a break against you. You know, AJ Hogarth didn't have a great performance, you know, and he was sort of, he was kind of a barometer for that team this year. You know, when he was making plays and making plays for others, getting in the lane, creating offense, at times that was some of the best ball they played. But at other times, you know, he'll get a little bit too much into shooting, and he's not a great shooter. So not a, you know, great performance, but really an excellent season and a lot to be excited about.
Well, and kind of a gut-wrenching day for Vanderbilt fans in general on Friday. You had the game, it seemed like, in control, and then St. Mary's comes back and wins in the second half. And then on the women's side of things, you lose 77-73 in overtime for your season to be done there, Joe. So in the span of a couple hours there, back-to-back just gut-punch losses for Vanderbilt fans on Friday.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, it's, you know, you're talking about, it's been a long time since you've talked about both of those programs getting into the tournament. There's a ton of excitement about both of those programs, of course, you know, as there should be. But yeah, it ends the way it did. Boom, that's what it is at this time of year, you know. I mean, it's like you can have this great season, and then it's snap of the finger, and it's gone. And that was a really tough loss for them. Again, tons to be excited about for Vanderbilt moving forward. You know, Michaela Blake's in her last game of the year, has 26. She's tremendous. I mean, you know, you're talking about, again, I think a National Player of the Year candidate. You got Camille Pierre, who's terrific inside. It's just a tough day. Ayanna Moore is a really good player. That's the third player for them who, you know, I mean, we're talking about those three players all played, you know, like 43 minutes in this game against Oregon, a 7-10 game. Ayanna Moore's 1-for-14. You know, you have one of those nightmare games in the NCAA tournament, and, you know, she'll bounce back from that. That's the big three. You know, they need to, you know, I think still a little bit of size inside at times hurts them. But I mean, next year, I think you're talking about a preseason top 15 or so team going into the season.
So Joe, you brought it up. There's not really a Cinderella team advancing to the Sweet 16. There's not really been a ton of upsets in the tournament either. Now, like, you know, Colorado State came close and they got beat on a buzzer beater yesterday by Maryland. Obviously, you know, McNeese with a big win in the first round, and then they lost after that. So maybe not as many upsets and certainly not some Cinderella teams as we've seen in years past in the NCAA tournament. So what's your read on that? Why do you think that is? And does that signal maybe a trend that could be coming in the college game to you?
Yeah, look, I think when it comes down to it, you think about all the, I was going through this last night a little bit for something I was writing for The Athletic, and it was like, man, look at all these mid-major guys who right now could be, you know, could be in this tournament being the stars for mid-majors. Now, Neat Clifford for Colorado State, there isn't a guy who's a pro who's plays for Colorado State, and I mean, it looked like he made the winning assist to beat Maryland, and Derek Queen does amazing stuff at the end. But I mean, Chaz Lanier, he could be playing for North Florida. Yep. You know, Janiah Broome, he could be playing for Morehead State. You know, Lamont Butler, San Diego State instead of Kentucky. Danny Wolf at Michigan. Last year, he won a game for Yale against Auburn.
Think about the guys that could be at Belmont right now.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's unbelievable.
It is. I mean, Will Richard kind of saved Florida yesterday, really. If you watch that game, now Walter Clayton went nuts at the end, but Will Richard kept them in it. He was at Belmont. Jacoby Gillespie, he's in the Sweet 16. He was at Belmont. I mean, it's really remarkable. So I think with trends sometimes, like, okay, let's see it keep playing out. But last 2 years, we're talking about two of the lowest seed total. So in other words, when you add up all the 16 teams, what is the total? You know, the lower the total, that means, you know, the higher the seed, right? Collectively. So it was 53 last year. It's 55 this year. The all-time low is 49. It's chalk, man. This is the first time since 2007 we don't have an 11 seed or lower. This is also the the one of the six times that the top four seeds won all of their, they all won their first game in the tournament. And that hasn't happened, I think, in like 8 years. So it's hard for me to look at that and not say, yeah, like the mid-major stars are going to be plucked by the power teams. And so the power teams are going to, you know, you're going to have fewer quote unquote Cinderellas probably, which is too bad for sure. Because we love the St. Peters, but you know, I don't think we're done having those stories.
Yeah.
But you know, but it's, I think it's going to be harder.
I think it's going to be harder. I think it's going to take, you know, probably some special groups that for whatever reason don't get plucked and hang around and just have a better chance to have those type of moments. It's interesting though, because like, I guess the question is this a bad thing? Is it a good thing when it comes to the overall sport? Because I've always kind of operated this way, Joe, and you could tell me whether or not you agree or disagree. Like, I think people love Cinderella stories. People love upsets to a point. And then when you get deep enough in the tournament, you just want to see the best teams. Like, you want to see the best teams go at it. So if this is a trend, maybe the opening round or two, it's not quite as exciting because you don't have those upsets that we're used to in the NCAA tournament as frequently. But by the end of it, do you get better basketball because the teams that we expect to be there end up being there at the end of the day?
Yeah, I think it's I think you're dead on with that. I think that's exactly how a lot of people look at it. I mean, look, like, was it 2 or 3 years ago that St. Peter's happened? I don't remember if it was 23 or 22, but
I mean,
you know, that was amazing. And then to watch them in this round beat Purdue, you're like, oh my gosh. And then of course, North Carolina beats them by a million.
Right.
But you know, still, we were all on board, but you're absolutely right. Once you get to this round, people want the best teams, the biggest brands. And this round, I mean, BYU, Alabama, folks, it's first game Thursday. Like, it's going to be like 107 to 104. I mean, seriously, like, it's an, like, that matchup stylistically is insane. Zona Duke, Maryland, Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, Michigan, Auburn. I mean, Michigan State, Ole Miss is a fascinating game. And, you know, those two are in Atlanta. Yeah, I mean, Purdue, Houston in Indy. Yeah, it's, you know, the matchups on paper here are, I mean, some of the best I can remember in the Sweet 16.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7 will be with us at 7:30. We'll get into the Vols advancing to the Sweet 16 with him coming up a little bit later in the show. Coming up next, a report with a guy that, Joe, I was not sure that we'd ever hear about again as an NFL player over the weekend, has surfaced, and it's got my eyebrows raised up a little bit. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, I was, you know, riding around doing some things on Friday, watching some basketball as the day went on, and then saw a report that maybe had to, like, triple-check to see whether or not it was real from friend of the show and best friend of Paul Kuharsky, Jordan Schultz, that he put it out there on Friday. Says the Vikings have had discussions with former Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill about a potential deal. Talks are ongoing, and nothing is imminent as of right now. This is from Jordan Schultz that he put out there on Friday. So I don't know exactly what that means, Joe. Like, how serious are the discussions? Is this just a phone call to Ryan Tannehill where it was like, hey, man, you think you might want to be interested in coming to play for us? And it was just that. Like, are they dead set on bringing Tannehill in? Is Tannehill willing to go play for the Minnesota Vikings? Everything on that front kind of remains to be seen. But I found that very interesting, Joe, that apparently the Vikings and Ryan Tannehill have had some discussions here. I didn't know that we'd ever see Ryan Tannehill in the NFL again, and I guess I still don't know that we will, but the fact that apparently he's having discussions with the Vikings is surprising to me. What did you make of that report from Jordan Schultz?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, okay, remind me, where the heck is Daniel Jones? Is he still under contract
with
them?
He's with the Colts.
Okay, that's right. We got the Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson battle royale.
Could be a special QB room in Indy.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, okay, so, and then Aaron Rodgers, I guess we still can't totally close the door on Aaron Rodgers, or can we in Minnesota? I mean, Charles doesn't think he can.
Guess not, and we're going to get into him in here in just a few minutes. He met with Pittsburgh over the weekend as well, but there's still no deal. So
it's interesting. I mean, I guess, first of all, you could do a lot worse as your QB2 than Ryan Tannehill. I also, I look at the Rodgers thing, you know, and it's like, so are they looking for a QB2, or are they looking for, okay, JJ's not quite ready yet, or maybe, I don't know, JJ maybe can't start the very beginning of the season. I don't know. But I can see how Tannehill could be interested. You know, JJ McCarthy has not taken a snap in the NFL.
Yep.
You know, we don't know how good he's going to be. That's a very good team. I mean, any quarterback has to look at the Minnesota Vikings and be like, you know, I think I could look pretty good with that crew, with that coach, with those receivers, et cetera. So I could see that being an enticing situation for Tannehill. It could be, you know, again, it could be one of those things where a little different than coming here, obviously, where it's kind of like the franchise QB that had been drafted was kind of starting to, you know, look a little questionable, and there was opportunity. This is more like you'd be a bridge QB, but I could, you know, they could work out different ways there, and I could see that being something worth getting him off the fishing boat.
This is interesting to me from a couple different perspectives. Number one, from him, the last time we heard from Ryan Tannehill, I think, is when he did that podcast with Diana Russini and Chase Daniel, where he was talking about, and this was in the beginning of last season, he was talking about what it would take to get him to go sign with a team. And basically, it was I'm not signing a contract and playing just for the sake of doing it. I'm not going to be a starting quarterback at a place where I don't have a chance to win. And it sounded to me like, Joe, at the time, that he didn't really have much of an interest in being a backup quarterback at all. Now, that was, you know, several months ago. So has his perspective on that changed? Is he, you know, after having a year off from the NFL, is he trying to get back in regardless of what the role looks like? I don't know. I don't know what the answer looks like there from the Tannehill perspective. We've talked about him in terms of the money he's made. He's made an absolute ton of money. So you go look at the career earnings of Tannehill. He's doing fine. He doesn't necessarily need the money. The other part of this is, what exactly would Minnesota view him as? Do they want him to come in and start? Do they want him to come in and be the backup? Because to me, Joe, if you're not committed to McCarthy being your starting quarterback, then I don't know why you're not signing Rodgers. That to me wouldn't make much sense. If JJ McCarthy is your starter, then I guess I'd be interested to see Tannehill, does he actually have interest in that? Or have they sold it to him of, you could come in, you can compete, and maybe you start the season as the quarterback, and then we'll just see where JJ McCarthy is from there. It's interesting to me from both of those standpoints, because to me, from the Minnesota standpoint, Joe, if you're not sold on McCarthy going immediately, then I would sign Rodgers if I was them.
Yeah, except unless you're like, you know what, actually, let's not bring that freak show to town. Tannehill, sells Celsius, whatever, you know, on a boat, and doesn't like to be someone's mentor.
But yeah, he's not going to mentor.
Know. Yeah, I mean, that would be, because I'm with you, I would agree. And if you're a Vikings fan, I mean, if right now, if you're sitting there thinking about the idea of, hey, you know what, how about Ryan Tannehill as your starter instead of JJ McCarthy? I'm sure a lot of Vikings fans are like, what? But if I'm Tannehill, I if this advances to where it gets serious, there's no way to me that the Vikings told him you're just QB2. You know what I mean? I don't think he's coming out of pre-retirement here just to be a QB2. I suppose you could look at it this kid is coming off an ACL. He got hurt. So this could be another one of those. All of a sudden, boom, I'm in charge of this really good team and I have a chance to actually win and do something. But I can't imagine that he's going to take these talks to a serious level if there isn't some talk of him at least having a chance to start.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And again, you know, Jordan Schultz said that they've had discussions about a potential deal. Like, to what level? Like, what level have those discussions evolved to? That's what we don't know. Like, it could be just very, you know, preliminary. They could be far down the road. Like, it's interesting to me that this is really, Joe, I think the first time since he's left that there have been, like, concrete evidence that he's been in talks with other teams. Now, I'm sure last year at some point, Joe, like last offseason, he got calls to come in and either compete for a starting job somewhere or be a backup quarterback. And he basically said that on the Rossini podcast last year, and he just didn't do it. This is the first time he's kind of been connected to a specific team where there's been some actual legs to it.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've always believed it, just, you know, the fact that he didn't announce a retirement, to me, it's like, okay, well, I've believed that, you know, that he is keeping himself sharp and hoping to have, you know, one more crack at it. I mean, like, again, there really is no reason not to just go ahead and retire, you know. Obviously, the Flacco example from a couple years ago is sort of the, well, I don't know if you call it a dream scenario, but it's like really good team, a lot of talent, lost their QB, need someone off the couch who can get it done. But, you know, maybe for him it's also like, if you can get into a winning situation that you really like, yeah, you never know how things might play out. And yeah, but yeah, he doesn't have, to me, any incentive to really like play out some years here as a QB2. There's plenty of teams that would pay him happily, like, you know, $4 million or whatever to be a QB2. But I can see why that's just not appealing to him. And again, it's hard for me to believe he's going to seriously look into this if there's not some possibility beyond that.
Well, we know that the Vikings are going to sign a veteran quarterback of some kind. Now they're kind of running out of options on that front as more quarterbacks continue to come off the board. We'll get to another quarterback that came off the board over the weekend here in just a few minutes. So, we talked with Charles Robinson about that on Thursday, you know, kind of specifically focused in on the Rodgers front. But if it's not Rodgers, it's going to be somebody. And Charles's point was, like, until they find that veteran quarterback that can either be their, you know, bridge starter or come in and be their backup to McCarthy, then it's hard to assume that the Rodgers to Minnesota thing is dead at that point. So it's interesting, you know, you look at the available quarterbacks. I think Minshew is still out there. But Tannehill's name coming up on the Minnesota front to me is really, really interesting. And I guess until they make a decision on that front, like Rodgers, even though he met with Pittsburgh over the weekend, it kind of sounds like he's just waiting on the Minnesota domino to fall. And then when it does, I guess he'll make a decision on whether or not he wants to go be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you could have a situation where the Titans choose Tannehill over Brady and the Vikings choose Tannehill over Rodgers.
Yeah.
And even if he never ends up getting a ring, he can, I mean, that's like a banner you could hang up in your in your man cave, right? 5 years later, he ousts someone. Now, Grant, that's the thing, you'll say Aaron Rodgers, and people will be like, wow, that's amazing. Of course, this Aaron Rodgers, a little different from, you know, Aaron Rodgers of even a couple of years ago. But still, that's something else, man, if that's how it works out.
Tannehill just doesn't go away, man. He can be around for a long time playing quarterback. One day he's going to oust Mahomes somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so, yeah, the Chiefs will yeah, when Mahomes is like 43 and Tannehill's like 50 something, he'll be like the new George Blanda in this league without the cigarettes.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll continue the discussion on the quarterback front. Rodgers did meet with Pittsburgh over the weekend, so what do we make of that potential fit? Plus another quarterback off the board that could affect the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, disrespect from me on the Gardner Minshew front. He did sign in Kansas City, so he's a backup in Kansas City to Mahomes. Slipped my mind on the Gardner Minshew front. So even less quarterbacks are available out there than I thought.
That's a weird one, right?
I mean,
they've kind of had.
It'd be fun.
They had Henny forever. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah, Carson Wentz last had more year, so I guess it's kind of similar.
Yeah, that is true. They're not afraid to, like, basically say, you know what, we can have just the wackiest situation ever at QB2. We know if QB1 goes down, we're totally toast screwed. Anyway. Yep. So, yeah.
No doubt. So that means the quarterbacks out there that are available, you know, outside of Rodgers and Russell Wilson, I mean, you're talking about the Trey Lances, Drew Lock, Flacco, Carson Wentz, still out there. So you start to get into some of those, like C.J. Beathard, getting into some of those guys. So that's what Minnesota's kind of looking at right now on that front. And another quarterback target off the board, Joe, Jameis Winston, ending up with the New York Giants over the weekend. Now, does Jameis Winston change the equation for the Giants in terms of, like, whether or not they're going to be interested in drafting a quarterback? Probably not. Quite frankly, like, if Rodgers gets through and doesn't sign in Minnesota, and then for whatever reason it doesn't work out in Pittsburgh, does it change them signing Aaron Rodgers if they want to? Probably not. Like, you could, with the deal they gave Jameis Winston, you could still bring in Aaron Rodgers if you wanted to. It just doesn't look like it's going to work out that way. And it looks like at the moment Jameis Winston is the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. So take another quarterback target off the board. And right now the Giants, looking in, you know, kind of heading into the offseason, you thought, all right, could they get Stafford? They were clearly interested in Stafford. It didn't work out. He ends up back with the Rams. Could you pivot to Rodgers? Could you land Aaron Rodgers and get him? And if not, can you find a way to trade up to number one overall and get Cam Ward to be your quarterback? And they may not do any of those things, Joe, and Jameis Winston may end up being starting quarterback for the New York Giants.
Yeah, that is wild. I'm here for it. You know, if Brian Daboll may not be here for it, but I'm here for it. Would they at this point do a Rodgers Jameis QB room?
I think they would.
I mean, that just sounds amazing. That sounds like an absolute ton of fun. Yep. But I would still, Jameis is fine as your QB2. It's what you'd prefer, is that Jameis is your QB2. So I wouldn't, you know, rule this out in terms of them trying to draft a QB.
And they could still get Russell Wilson. I mean, they could do the combo there too of Wilson and Jameis.
Wow, the combination possibilities are amazing. Yeah, see, but that one, they're not going to do that, right? I'd probably rather just let it
fly with Jameis than doing that. But that's just me.
Yeah, where is Russ then going to end up? You know,
that's a good question.
Like the musical chairs here, you can see where all of a sudden he's sitting there, like, just with no place to go. I guess. You know, then sort of having to make a choice, you know, okay, well, we'll take you as QB2. You know, there's a lot of teams that might get to that, you know, once it gets to the point where he doesn't have a starting job. But, yeah, I feel like he's going to be the guy who loses out here as long as Rodgers actually does sign with a team.
I got one texter says, Malik Nabers fixing to have 2,000 yards with Jameis as his quarterback. Ty says, Travis Hunter going to be the pick for the Giants. On offense, he's wide receiver to catch Jameis' throws. And he can play DB to catch all his picks, too. You can just get him out there all at the same time.
Well, I was just going to say, Nabers 2,000 yards, and also will have like 17 tackles on interceptions. So be a hell of a
versatile player.
Yeah, he's like the new Travis Hunter himself. I mean,
that could be really where you use Travis Hunter. Is like, all right, Travis, we're going to throw you the ball, but you're going to have to make sure you're ready to make a tackle at any point out there. Yeah. You never know when it's coming.
You're always a DB too, okay? So remember that. You're a receiver and a DB at all times, yes.
I mean, look, if he ends up starting there, number one, they're going to be awful. So, I mean, just keep that in mind. But, I mean, it will be fun. There will be games where I'm sure the Winston-Malik Nabers combo will go nuts. Like, there will be a game that Jameis orchestrates like a 15-catch, 190-yard performance from Malik Nabers. He just might also throw five picks in the meantime.
Yes, he's the new Fitzmagic, so that'll be fun. It won't be winning. It won't be fun for Daboll. I mean, if you're Daboll, you have to have a rookie quarterback, right?
Like, yes.
I don't even understand the point of, like, continuing with this if this is what it's going to be. And again, I know, like you just said, they've tried. They tried to get Stafford. You know, they've tried to fix it. They haven't been able to. But if we get to, you know, you get to the draft, and again, I have no idea, like, what they feel about Shedeur Sanders. I mean, maybe they could be the team that goes with him, you know, after Cam Ward's already off the board, and they don't try to, like, you know, move up and trade away picks and stuff like that. But, I mean, if you're him, like, you may as well just, you know, just start looking around if you're going to sit there with, like, Jameis and whatever. I mean, it's not going to go well for you.
And then, look, there's a scenario, too, that I think is very, very well possible that could end up happening here. Like, what happens if you get through all this and Jameis is your starting quarterback heading into the draft? Your plan is to draft a quarterback, and the Titans take Ward at 1 and the Browns take Sanders at 2. Like, what are you doing then at 3 if you're the Giants?
For
you
Dart.
Just taking Dart? Like, just throwing a flyer at Dart that way?
Yeah, maybe you could hope that, you know, you take a great player. I mean, you have your pick of great players. I mean, if I'm a Giants fan, I'd lose my mind if they drafted Dart in that scenario. But maybe you could, you know, then they can try to hope they can get Dart later, or they can move up into the end of the first to get Dart, you know, something like that. Texture says Wilson to Tennessee, book it. There's zero chance. Mm. Like, there's just, I mean, to me, right? Is there more than zero? Is there more than a 0%? Yeah, it's not. That's not.
I mean, I guess they could trade back out of the pick and end up drafting, you know, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, and then you just look around and say, well, yeah, we'll just bring Russell Wilson in, and they could be our quarterback combo of Wilson and Brandon Allen, but I would be very surprised if that happens.
Yeah, the only way you can book that or even consider it is if we're all wrong. We're all totally dead wrong as we all sit here and just assume they're Cam on the Cam Ward train, right? I mean, that's the only way that I think it would even be discussed. But I don't expect there to be a peep about Russell Wilson, Tennessee, because I don't think there's going to be any interest at all.
So let me ask you this. If you're Pittsburgh sitting here kind of waiting on all this, you've got Rodgers that came into their building and apparently met with them, I believe, on Friday. Okay. And I don't think the contractual part of this is the problem, because some of the reporting around this kind of makes it seem like they figured the contract part out. It's basically like whether or not he wants to be there. So the meeting over the weekend was described as like a getting to know you type thing between the Rodgers side of things and the Steelers. So if you're Pittsburgh watching all this play out, how are you viewing this, that it looks like Rodgers is basically waiting to be told no by Minnesota before he decides whether he actually wants to come play quarterback for you?
I think you, in this meeting that already happened, you say, Aaron, we're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we think that we can win with you. And so, you know, like we, unlike them, we don't have a first-round guy who is destined to take over the job, you know? Look at the receiving talent we have. I mean, to me, you got to press him, right? And be like, look, man, like, let's go. But, I mean, look, if this is what he's going to do, you're also kind of, you know, you don't have many other options, so I guess you just have to take it.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Today, a very important day in the draft process for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, I'm throwing the question out there. We're very early into the tenure. How are Titans fans feeling about the early direction under Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rextro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.